you're buying your right wrinkle cream, you're taking your right vitamins, you're getting yourself to look youthful. Because looking not youthful is no good. Because looking old is bad. Old is a bad word. Aged is a bad word. Are you covering up that gray hair? You know, making yourself look as young as possible, wearing those things that make you look slim and prevent all the sagging, just like they teach you to do. They teach you to do that because they don't want you to be categorized as an elder. So an interesting thing happened to me. I got a call from a TV station, said we're interviewing people who are elders who could have retired but are instead still working. And we want to know why you're still working. So they're coming in to interview me. But that triggered off this whole thought about work, the idea of working, and what work does for me, how it vitalizes me, how it gives me a purpose, makes me feel terrific and being here with you people. But then I also recently have been looking at some elders who don't have it easy or as fortunate. So I thought it. I was thinking about elder abuse. And no sooner am I thinking about it than a newspaper comes past me from the NASW talking about elder abuse and how some new groups are being organized. Because why is it? What's so important about this? What's important about this is that there are more elders than ever. And you're going to be one of them someday, no matter who you are that's listening. If you're not there already, you're going to be one. And the world is building itself in a certain way, but, you know, it's fallen a little behind. It's fallen a little behind because we have, we're behind the development that is necessary. We're not planned for this. I was thinking about what it used to be like to be an elder. Like, you know, whatever, remember the old, somewhere before, being an elder meant that you had this great deal of respect, you were revered. Well, why was that, and why is it not as much today? Well, in the past, elders lived to be 50 years old. Remember, in 1900, the life expectancy was 30. I know. So here we are, in 100 years later, life expectancy is now 90, you know, or 80 or something like that. But elders expected, you know, 50 years old, that's an elder. They weren't expected to live much longer, so you just took care of them, you know. It's like, oh, we're going to be good, you'll be around for another 5 years at the very most. They sat in a corner. They didn't have any resources. They had nothing they'd accumulated because they'd given it to all their kids. They were the caretakers of children of the parents, which is another great value, because if you're a caretaker, you know, of children, then the parents could go out and hunt and work in the gardens and gather and do all that other stuff. So elders have had a purpose. Now, what is the purpose? And as we said, there are more and more. And I want to focus on the abuse of elders. A strange topic for me, Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind, because I'm trying to look at the positive side of this. I'm trying to look at this, and the only thing I can see is how we have to motivate people to do a little more in this direction. Because it's a very important part of our world. What is elder abuse? Elder abuse is generally a term described to describe certain types of harm to older adults. The commonly accepted definition is it's a single or repeated act or lack of appropriate action occurring within any relationship where there's an expectation of trust which causes harm or distress to an older person. I'm going to repeat that. It focuses on the harm when there's an expectation of trust. So elder abuse is the same as child abuse in many ways, the expectation of trust. The core feature of the definition is it focuses on harms where there's an expectation of trust of the older person towards the abuser. They trust somebody. Thus, it includes harm by people the older people knows or with whom they may have a relationship, such as a spouse, a partner, a family member, a friend, a neighbor. It does not include necessarily the thing that happens, like, you know, general criminal activity against older people, such as home breaking, muggings, distraction, burglary. You know, that's when a stranger distracts an older person at the doorstep or another one enters the property to steal. It does not include that. Elder abuse is by somebody you know. And there are many types. This is Armand DeMille here with you at The Positive Mind, by the way. Something worth paying attention to, because there's a number of organizations that have yet to grow into being able to care for people, the elders. And so the elders are somehow just behind getting caught up. But let's talk about some of the things that happen. There's a different kinds of physical abuse. One is the simple physical. Believe it or not, hitting, punching, slapping, burning, pushing, kicking, restraining, false confinement, or giving excessive or improper medication. People do that. They do it. Now, there are many cases where there's an elder who is living with a child who is psychologically challenged. They'll release somebody from the hospital. The parents don't want that person. They keep that person with the grandparent. And that emotionally challenged person winds up abusing the grandparent as a mean kid would abuse a dog or a cat. Psychological, emotional harm. Shouting, swearing, frightening, or humiliating a person. A common theme is a perpetrator who identifies something that matters to another person and then uses it to coerce an older person into a particular action. So if you care about your garden, I threaten to hurt your garden. If you care about your pet, I threaten to hurt your pet, unless you do what I say. It could take verbal forms such as name-calling, ridiculing, constantly criticizing, accusing, blaming, and general disrespect, or nonverbal forms such as ignoring, silencing, or shunning. What does an elder do when they feel this way? You see, when you get to that point, you begin to feel almost like you wish you could die. And so you shut up. You bury yourself. Sometimes you build this kind of selective isolation. You stay at home. You watch Oprah and you watch The View and you just stay at home and you don't go out and you reject anything that's offered to you because at least you know there's one place where you're safe. Other forms of abuse which are considered abuse. Now, by the way, these are legal forms of abuse. You could bring charges against somebody for this. There's financial abuse, also known as financial exploitation. Now, this is a funny one. I have met more than one person who becomes shy of friendship. They're afraid of it. And it's the illegal or unauthorized use of a person's property, their money, their pension book, or their other valuables, including changing the person's will to name the abuser as an heir. Sometimes they force the elder to change the will, to name them as an heir. It may be obtained by deception, coercion, misrepresentation, or theft. The term includes fraudulently obtaining or use of a power of attorney, right, which they get very often because you could say your grandmother signed it over. Other forms include deprivation of money or other property or even eviction from your own home. And then comes the one that is almost too tough to believe, sexual abuse of the elders. which is forcing a person to take part in any sexual activity without his or her consent, including forcing them to participate in conversations of a sexual nature. They may also include situations where the person is no longer able to give consent, and believe it or not, there is sexual abuse. Now, of course, as you can imagine, 70% of all elder abuse is done against women. But 30% is done against men, and sexual abuse of men is also common. It doesn't mean you have to bring them to satisfaction or anything like that. You just abuse them, and you abuse them in ways that just is not acceptable. There's neglect. One of the ways that elders are neglected, and this happens a lot in institutions, is you deprive a person of food, heat, clothing, or comfort, of essential medication, depriving a person of needed services to force certain kinds of actions, financial and otherwise. See, you hold back. You know, you can't have your food unless you do what I say. The deprivation may be intentional or happen out of lack of knowledge or resources. Now, this is, as you can imagine, you know, there are people who do this out of just exploitation, and then there are other people who do it without even knowing it. The United States recognizes the following as elder abuse as well. Rights abuse: denying the civil and constitutional rights of a person who is old but not declared by court to be mentally incapacitated. It's an aspect of elder abuse that is being increasingly recognized and adopted by nations. Do you have a right to not hire somebody because of their age? We call that age discrimination. It's a form of elder abuse. Self-neglect. Elderly people neglecting themselves by not caring for their own safety or health. Self-neglect, which is harm by self, is treated very differently than harm by others. So here comes the question, do you have a right to tell somebody who is neglecting themselves that they have to attend to themselves? What about free will? What if the person has their own desire to not take care of themselves? What if they don't want to bathe? What if they don't want to clean? What if they don't want to eat right? Do they have that right? Do they have that thing? Or do you say, no, you don't have that right, I'll have you locked up? Well, you can't have a person locked up for using their choice. There's abandonment also. Deserting a dependent person with the intent to abandon them will leave them unattended at some place and time that may endanger their welfare with the hopes that something will happen to them. What a sad story, isn't it? It's a sad story, and it kind of, the more I look at it, the more I think somehow we've got to take more action with this. More, and I think WBAI especially has to take more action in this direction. We have to be more representative, and I will be. Of course, there's institutional abuse. Physical or psychological harm, as well as rights violations, in settings where care is being delivered to dependent older adults. I remember this horrible story about a guy who was calling up people who had Alzheimer's, who were members of the Alzheimer's Foundation, was calling them up and telling them they forgot to send in their checks, and was talking them through at the moment, right there, writing checks, right, and sending them to him. He got arrested for this, and some, it turned out he had gotten like some like $50,000 or $60,000 from people. Hey, what do you expect is going to happen to you when you get older? You know, how are you going to set yourself up? What if there's nobody left, nobody around? Reminds me of a joke. Who could tell a joke? I could tell a joke. Okay, a joke about this 90-year-old man who walks in to see a lawyer. 90-year-old woman walks in to see a lawyer. And she says to the lawyer, I want a divorce. And he said, why do you want a divorce? She says, I hate that man. I can't stand him. He's selfish. He's miserable. He's mean. I don't like him. I have hated him for the longest time. I want a divorce. And the lawyer says, Well, why did you wait so long to get a divorce? And she says, I was waiting for our children to die. This is Armand DeMille. The signs of abuse sometimes among older people, you could look and you could see. And this is kind of very interesting, because if you look at the signs of abuse of an older adult, you're going to see signs of sexual abuse of a child. Symptoms are similar. First, of course, the ultimate one is that the first one is they say they're being harmed. That's easy enough. But very often when there's an abused adult, they seem depressed and withdrawn. Signs of depression in the elders are not getting dressed, not performing basic care of themselves, inability to sleep or sleeping too much. Now, if you saw this in someone, if a doctor saw this in someone, he would question whether that adult is being abused. But, you know, the physician wouldn't question it. They have a way of looking at older people that's not like, not all physicians, but it's not like they're humans. It's like they're on their way out, you know? And so they don't get that kind of treatment. If you saw a child with these symptoms, you would address it immediately. Another sign of a person being abused is not accepting invitations to spend time away from their family or caregiver. Like they don't, you offer them to take them on a trip somewhere and they just won't do it. They seem afraid to make their own decisions. They seem to be hiding something about a caregiver. They don't have any spending money. They put off going to the doctors. They seem anxious and fearful. And they try to run away every now and then. They try to run away. They try to leave their place of residence, not wishing to return. And they run away. They run away. They just, but they, like children, you know, they get found and brought back to the same place. Armand DeMille here with you with the Positive Mind. Do you have any, you know, any instances of this? And here's the problem. I mean, what can we do? We could have a horror show. We could talk about the horror story of what's happening with the elders. I mean, it has to be brought. But is there another way to see it? Is there another way to see the good story of it? The story of what happens when you empower people? Here's what I've learned. If you try to get help to somebody who is an elder who is abusing themselves, they very often will fight you. They'll resist. And sometimes you have to take a firm hand in caring for them in some way. But it's so easy to want to throw up your hands and say, I just don't want to be a part of it. An abuser can be a spouse, a partner, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, a volunteer worker, a paid worker, a practitioner, solicitor, or any individual with the intent to deprive a vulnerable person of their resources. Now, elders have resources. Many elders, they paid off their mortgage, right? And they're seen by somebody comes along and says, hey, that's a house worth a few $100,000. How do I get it? How do I get that? That person's got money. Let me offer you a reverse mortgage. Boy, that's one of those. You have to question when an elder wants a reverse mortgage. Sure, they have a right to get money and live on the money and not leave the house to anybody. But where is that money going? Frequently, someone has convinced somebody to get a reverse mortgage just so they could have cash available to give them or cash available that they could take. I believe there should be some kind of inquiry when elders ask for reverse mortgages. I think it's responsible by the banks to say, we have to check this out a little further. We have to make sure that what's going on here is okay. The relatives, when they're with an older person, you know, there are things like, you know, go be nice to your grandmother. She's going to die soon. She'll leave you in the will. Now, this leads to something. It's like, it's called grooming. Some perpetrators may groom an older person that they build a relationship in order to establish a relationship of trust. Older people living alone who have no adult children living nearby are particularly vulnerable to grooming by neighbors and friends who would hope to gain control of their estates. But you know what happens? A lot of elders I know developed a groomophobia. They don't trust anybody caring for them. They suspect. And so what happens now is you get an adult kind of paranoia. And the truth is they may be distrustful of people who really want to do good by them. But as you become more vulnerable in life, you do become more paranoid. You do, because that's what paranoia is. Paranoia is saying, you know, you're vulnerable. You have to watch out. So we'll be taking your calls at 212-209-2900. Not immediately, but we'll be taking them after the break today. I want to complete this with you, and then I want to hear from you. Within paid care environments, senior homes, abuse can occur for a variety of reasons. Some abuse is the willful act of cruel inflicted by a single individual upon an older person. In fact, a case study in Canada suggests that the high elder abuse statistics are from repeat offenders. Now, the repeat offenders, the people who like to abuse the elders, there's a kind of schadenfreude here. You know, schadenfreude is the pleasure you get in seeing somebody's punishment, pain, or difficulty. And there's a certain kind of, it's almost like you torture the elder. And you kind of watch them squirm and you watch them scream. And it's almost like if you're getting even with your own parents, you take it out on the elders somewhere. And sometimes it is your parents. More commonly, institutional abuses or neglect, they could commonly be seen as maybe they don't have sufficient resources. But then they shouldn't make the deal in the first place that I'm taking care of you. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. I'll take care of you. You be nice. I've seen forms where they say they're taking care of you, and what they're doing is slipping drugs to the elders to make them feel nice. But, of course, the drugs are affecting their health. So there's a lot of a lack of reliable data in the area of statistics. 25% of vulnerable older adults will report abuse in the previous month, which is going higher. 70%, as I said, of the elder abuse is perpetrated against women. And abuse increases with age. The older you get, the more you tend to become a victim. Perhaps we should be teaching self-defense. You know, perhaps we should. I mean, I heard of somebody the other day who got one of these bracelets that, you know, you call the alarm company if something happens, you fall on the floor. And she said, just tested it. She called the alarm company, no response. Called them again, no response. Called them again, no response. Of course, what do? They sell alarm bracelets. And that's the way they exploit the adults, the elders. This goes further, of course, and it gets to where it just begins to feel sadder and sadder and sadder, and we have to do something. We need to get motivated in some way. And I'm sure some of you are going to be calling up with some of the suggestions that you believe can be done to help people, and that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to see. In fact, we'll put it on the webpage as well. Even though the Facebook page has been bringing a lot of fun to a lot of people with depth and insight, let's address this issue as well. Now, lastly, let's talk about self-abuse and neglect. An older adult may neglect themselves by not taking care of their own personal health or well-being, and they deny themselves food. You see, they barely eat. Cleanliness. Adequate clothing for protective climate, proper shelter, safety, clean and healthy surroundings, medical attention for serious illness, essential medications. Now, self-neglect can be created by a person's declining mental awareness or capacity, but it could also be a choice. Some older adults may choose to deny themselves the health or safety benefits, simply be their personal choice. Caregivers and other responsible individuals have to honor these choices if the older adult is sound of mind. What if the person says, hey, I got to be 75 years old, I'm only going to eat ice cream. I've waited my whole life to this moment, or I'm going to smoke. Ma, how could you smoke now? Because I always wanted to smoke, because I stopped smoking when I was 30, and here I am. I know somebody who was dying of lung cancer. Dying, I mean, he had data short term. Picked up a pack of cigarettes and started smoking. And somebody said to him, how could you possibly do it? He says, what could happen to me? What could happen? This is what I want to do. So, my friends, how does it touch you? What does it do to you? It makes me weep. Makes me sad. Where do you get help? There are local agencies, area agencies on aging. It's a AAA. You can find them in the phone book, the National Center on Elder Abuse. There's a number of organizations which are also helping out. The National Clearing House on Abuse Later in Life. The reports to the Department of Health of Health and Human Services. They're all a part of this. They're all trying to help with this, but it's way behind what it has to do. It's just, we haven't gotten there yet. So maybe you can pick up with me and we could look at it. Maybe we could look at it and examine it and see what we could do to care more. One thing is for sure, when you see somebody who is an elder, who is struggling, I mean, sometimes I look at a person walking across the street with a walker, you know, and you see they can barely do a step at a time. And I feel such, you know, I want to say to them, right on. Great for taking that walk. Great for getting out of your house. Great for doing that, you know, great. Keep going. I would like them to have some kind of contact, some friendliness that's not exploitive. You know, even stopping and saying, you know, I see how hard it is for you to walk, but it inspires me to think how much effort you put into it. A friendly conversation. Not asking for anything. It's nice. And remember, of course, if you approach anybody who feels that vulnerable, they'll be suspicious. But you let them have their suspicion. You let them have it. You, sure, sure, I won't even take your name. I won't do anything. But I wanted to let you know that I recognize you in the world and I care about you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5. We're going to take a short break. How about a little music for you? And then when I get back, I will play you, we'll take your phone calls at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. Here's an obvious choice.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. Soothe the local unwed mother. Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hand. Used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core. But I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look Grandma's
hand. That is, of course, Bill Withers. But here's one more for you.
Hey! of coal. But I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm so blue, pure, perfect. I'm gonna put a smile on everybody's face. I'm gonna kneel and pray every day, lest I should become vain along the way. And I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna learn the best way to walk. I'm gonna search and find me a better way to talk. And I'm gonna spit and polish my old rough edge self till I get rid of every single flaw. I'm gonna be the world's greatest friend. I'm gonna go around shaking everybody's hand. Hey, and I'm gonna be the cotton picking rage of the age. Yeah, I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
John Anderson. I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond one day. I'm gonna polish myself up. Get out there. Hey, 212-209-2900. We're going to take your call in just one moment. But it does remind me. Okay, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I've been just listening to your program, and I have gone through an incredible amount of, or should I say, harassment and menacing, and could even go as far as torture at my apartment for 3.5 years, and no one will listen. The police say we don't see anything. I went to the FBI. They said, don't call us anymore. We don't want to hear from you. And I've been to, so many.
You have another caller.
Agencies, yeah.
Yeah, I hear. So let me.
Is there a time that you could be talked to with when you're off show?
Sure.
What number would that be?
Well, call the station and they'll give you my office number.
Well, thank you very much. Are you called Bill Withers?
No, Bill Withers is the man who was singing the song. My name is
Armand. Oh, you are, and you are
Armand DeMille.
Your name is
Armand DeMille.
DeMille.
Yeah. Okay, so you'll call me offline. That would be better. But here's a question, you know, that I've asked. I wanted to ask of you. Do you have? Hold on, just one sec.
What is your first name?
Oh, tell me. Armand. A-R-M-A-N-D.
Armand.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm Robert. I'm Robert.
Robert, I look forward to hearing from you. I have to take care of something. Here, I'm going to call you.
What is a good time to call you?
Anytime after today, okay?
Anytime after today.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm so blue, pure, perfect. I'm gonna put a smile on everybody's face. I'm gonna kneel and pray every day, lest I should become vain along the way. And I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond.
And this is Armand DeMille back with you. I'm sorry. So one of the questions we have, of course, is if you're a private person who has spent your life feeling that you are being persecuted, and then you complain about it for a long period of time, people will not believe you. Now that becomes a very big issue. Because we have one of two questions. Either you're wrong or they're wrong. Now, of course, in certain conditions, you're sure they're wrong. Those are the conditions usually where you got to clean the spots on your side of the glass. Remember that thing I said about cleaning a window? Sometimes there's a window and you're trying to clean it and your friend's on the other side of the window and there's a spot and you point to it and say, it's your spot. And it turns out to be yours after all. So one of the things that happen is you live in torture when you believe you're being persecuted by people and there's no resources. And there are many people who live like that. We just heard from one of them. 212-20, see what we can do to help them out. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Tony from Queens County.
Hey, Tony.
Yes, I talked to you before. My father's like bedridden. My mom died last January. And he doesn't want to get out of the bed.
Who is this? Who is it doesn't want to get out of the bed?
My father.
Your father. Your mom died last January.
Yeah.
And your father gave up.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's like 76.
Yeah. It must kill you. It must kill you, Tony. You know, it must make you feel so heartbroken. There's nothing you can do to get him up. So you've tried yelling at him, right?
Right. We went to Burger King yesterday, and he was good. He's like in a dream state.
It's called a fugue state. So he's like in a dream state. It's like his mind is not as much present. Tony, you got to get him over to see some kind of a physician who's got to look at it. Because here's what we want to know. We want to know if your father has got the mental capacity to take care of himself or if he's more like he has some kind of dementia. And when you talk about a dream state, you may be talking about dementia, in which case there's going to be a couple of ways to treat him that will make life a little better for him. So have you taken him to a psychiatrist or a physician and asked about this?
I tried to, but he's too proud.
He's too proud to go, huh?
Yeah. Like, he doesn't need anybody's help, and it's apparent that he needs help.
Well, it's apparent, but let me tell you what's apparent. First of all, he is your parent, right? It's apparent. He's your dad. But what's apparent is that sometimes when your wife dies and she's your whole life, you just wait to join her, you know? And we, the kids that sit around and watch this happen, we say, oh, please don't leave us just to go there. Now, have you ever told your father how much you need him? Or have you just told him how much he should be taking care of himself?
I just told him right now. He's in the bedroom. I told him, I'm not going to abuse you when you get older. You know, I'll take care of you. And he's like, yeah.
But did you ever tell him, Tony, did you ever tell him you need him? Did you ever say...
It's obvious that I need him.
I know it's obvious, but did you ever say it? Did you ever say, Daddy, I need you. Please.
I told him I need you. I need you to drive me to Long Island because I have a UPS appointment.
Yeah, and I hear you. I think I'm saying something different than you're saying. I want you to say to him, Daddy, I need you as a father. Not I need you to drive me. I need you to be here for me. Not just to take care of me. Not just to do things for me. Don't leave me yet. I lost my mother. I don't want to lose my daddy. So please stick with me. I want you to try that. And then, if he responds, say, Dad, let's go check this out. Maybe it's something missing in your blood. You know, maybe you just need some potassium, or maybe you just need something. And take him to a doctor to get kind of a general checkup. But start with...
He goes to Manhattan. He has a doctor. Him and my mom used to go to Manhattan every other month. And
did you ever speak to that doctor?
I should as a son.
Yes.
Okay.
Make an appointment to see that doctor and go talk to him about about your dad. Let him pay attention. Okay?
Okay.
Stay in touch with me, Tony. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, talking about a very important, difficult issue. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
My God, they should package you and put you in every home. My name is Luz, and I am a geriatric psychiatric nurse.
Oh, Luz.
And
thank
you
so
you,
much.
I tell you, the extent of what I have seen, I still keep wondering, what have we done to our society that we separated children from their grandparents, parents from their children? We have created the chaos that we have today. And unfortunately...
One
we
more
have,
caller.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Luz.
We have sent it to all over the world to imitate our way. Unfortunately, the traditional societies always had support for the elderly. I lived in Japan for 1 year. I couldn't believe the difference between their system and our system.
How did they do it in Japan?
Well, actually, it's one of honor, one of care, one of respect, one of they have lessons to teach the young, one of care. And these children learn to revere these elderly people. Mm. You know that song of saying, my grandmother used to protect me because she would... It is what it is. Children and grandparents are the best allies that exist.
Well, you know, I was going to say that part of this, what falls down, is that we've got so many people now who are elders. But you're talking about the real elders in Japan. And I've heard about how the Japanese system is so much more...
is more civilized.
Than more anything. Civilized than we are. But you see, we're not a civilized society.
And the problem is that as people age, and I'm not a young person myself, I'm 68, I will tell you that there's no resources or services to cover everything that I see here. I work in a public hospital. So in New York City has millions of elderly people, some of them with very little resources. They have worked all their life. And, you know, they don't have retirement plans. They don't have these big savings. And even the nursing homes, unless they don't have some sort of way of paying, they're not going to take care of them. And you will know that not every nursing home is a caring nursing home.
No, we do know that.
So many of
how do you distinguish, Luz? How do you, if you had an elder and you wanted to bring an elder to a nursing home, what would you look for?
I will go and, first of all, see, ask to be walked when. In the worst, to the very elderly. If I smell any sense of any urine smell anywhere, I will see if they have a cat and a dog. I would see if the area is clean. I will see how, at feeding time, they're being treated. Because it is my line of work.
Yeah.
Once I'm a head nurse, I will make sure that I see the behavior of my workers towards these elderly persons.
Well, Luz, what about the case where Robert called a little earlier, and he said, Tony called, and he said his father is depressed, lays in bed, and won't get out of bed now. How do you get a psychiatric evaluation with somebody?
First of all, you can call and send him to an emergency room. He needs to be evaluated. He needs to be care. He needs counseling. He's in pain. He's in an emotional pain, and he needs to face the reality of what it is. Otherwise, he's going to waste away and die.
And what if he wants to?
He can have that legal choice, but I don't think his son should make it for him. It is true that it is a very hard step. He has lost the love of his life. And unfortunately, somehow, his connection with his son, as she was telling him, it doesn't seem to be that viable for him, because why does he want to leave? He needs to regain some sense that his life is valuable for someone or something. Otherwise, he'll go.
Luz, you work in geriatric. Is it specifically geriatric psychiatric?
Yes.
What specializes geriatric psychiatric?
Well, you know, we have dementia, Alzheimer's, we have persons with traumatic brain injury, and certainly anybody over 55 is geriatric in this country. And what we care for is to certainly make sure that some medications to alleviate the downhill from Alzheimer's, and unfortunately, I keep saying either it's the plastics or the air or something. We're getting tons of people losing their ability to reason and to function and to be able to care.
It seems to be happening quickly, doesn't it?
Younger and younger in age.
Yes, it seems to be happening rapidly. There's a growing, you know, it's kind of a funny thing. It's almost growing in direct proportion to the extension of the life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, as people get older, getting Alzheimer's is younger.
Mm-hmm.
Dementia is younger. It's almost like a balance. Somewhere nature's trying to tell us something.
And unfortunately, we're dealing right now with the happy generation of the 60s that took everything through their nostrils, veins, and mouth. Plus, the environment is not safer. I mean, the things we put, I mean, you know, you guys have fabulous programs about all the preservatives and things that we've been putting in our mouths for the last 40, 50 years. Babies in this country are not breastfed. They're bottle-fed right off the butt. They end up with tons of chemicals in their system.
Loose, I tell you something. You know, loose means light, doesn't it?
It is.
Yeah, and it's like you're the light. You know, you talk about me being in every institution. You know, you are an institution. You're an angel. I really thank you for being there on our team.
There's a few in the front line, but I tell you that it is massive. It is massive and sad to see.
You know, Luce, if you ever wanted to make use of this program, you could always find it on my website. You know, you could always download it or tell people to download it and listen to today's program if people can make use of it. And I think some people will be doing that. So they could just go to the Positive Mind and look in the archives and find this program today. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you for being there.
Sure.
Thanks.
212-209-2900 is our telephone number. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good.
Hi. You know, I like this topic, elder abuse. My grandmother, who took care of my mom and her four children when she was struggling, at the end of her life when she had, you know, cancer and was very sick, my mother kind of pawned her off on me. At that time, I was like 14 years old because she, you know, she was so stricken by fear and unpleasantness. And it was kind of horrible for me, but, you know, I didn't want to hurt my grandmother because I loved her. And my grandmother, you know, we were Jewish. We used to go to this Yiddish theater on the Lower East Side, and she would see all these horrible stories about parents and children who would, you know, just toss them away. And I said, Grandma, that would never happen to you. And it did happen to her. They tossed her into a nursing home, and she died like 6 weeks later. Because they can't stand to be uprooted, and especially when they're dying, they like to be around their loved ones. And it was so awful for me that the whole burden was put on me because my mother was hiding in the bathroom.
Yeah, so here comes the big question. The big question is, let's say that you are an elder, and you have children, and you have a child who's, let's say, younger than you, but the child has a life of their own, and now you're an elder with a child who has a life of her own, or his own, and you know that they are the ones that you want to take care of you. You may have more than one, but you know that your child can take you to lunch, can change your clothing, can do anything for you, better than any caretaker could do. So now you as an elder say, I want you, my daughter or son, to be my caretaker. And these daughter or son says, you know, in some way, gee, Ma, I don't want to be your caretaker. I don't want to spend my life like this. I don't want to spend the next 10 years just taking care of you. I want you to get somebody to take care of yourself. And the elder says, no, I want it to be you. What do you do as a child? What do as the person who is the designated caretaker when it goes beyond your own life? When do you stop?
Well, here's the thing. She owed my grandmother. My grandmother devoted many years of her life to helping her with her four children, which she had all together. She wouldn't be able to manage. And it was like a knife in the back to this poor woman who was wonderful. And she died throwing my mother out of the hospital and not wanting her there. It's just awful.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do with your mom when she gets...
Oh, my mom... It's so funny because I took a vow and I said I would do the same thing to her. She was so mean, and she passed away. I did the opposite. I was there 24/7.
I'm sure you would be. As angry as you were, you would have been.
I don't know why I did that.
Because there's two parts to your mom. One part is the scared child, and the other part is the person who you always cherished.
Well, she never took care of me when I was sick. I don't want to live up to her, you know, be her standards.
I guess that's
to worry
it.
About my karma. I want to keep my karma clean.
And you feel better about yourself for having taken care of her.
A healing occurred, fortunately.
Yes.
But, you know, it just, I hate people like that, that don't, like, do, you know, like, they toss the elderly. I just hate
Well,
people.
If not toss, when do you make the choice of saying, I don't toss you? But I want you to be, and I want you to, you should be in a senior home. You should be in a shared.
The problem with that is these people die right away if you uproot them.
Not all of them. No, that's not true.
Well, people that don't want to go will.
That's people who don't want to go naturally are going to resist.
Yeah,
but there are accommodations that work if the person could afford it. And a lot of people can afford it and they still refuse to do it. Because they're dependent on their children, who are adults, of course,
well,
taking care of them.
Some just want to be around their children.
Sure, of course.
It's mean.
Yeah.
I think it's mean. Don't you think it's mean?
I think it's one of the questions that we have. I don't know who is meaner to who, you know, nowadays.
Oh,
I think
boy.
The world is a mean and a, at the same time, a beautiful society. We're just growing.
It doesn't have to be that way. I don't think so.
I agree. As Luce has told us, you know. Thank you for calling in. What's your name?
Marissa,
thank you for calling in.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. 212-209-2900. Time for one more caller. This is Armand DeMille. It's going to be brief. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Just got about a minute.
You know, what I want to say is that I am approaching that situation currently. And my mom is very senior. And I'm assisting her as well. Through my religious practice, I'm a Buddhist, and oneness of self and environment is very a powerful concept. What I've decided to do is take it one step at a time and have a seeking spirit, you know, to find out what's available to me and for her as well, but mostly to develop my inner strength and my inner spirituality and to try to bring my life condition as high as possible so that the decisions that I make will reflect that life condition, and it will be just better for everyone. If, you know, she and I are connected, they say that the people in your environment are a reflection or a reflection of your life condition, and if you polish your life in a situation, the environment responds to that. And so I'm focusing very much on that so that I can make the right decisions for both of us, because it's very important that both of us have good existences, you know?
What's your name?
My name is Denise.
Denise, thank you very much for that wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. If you want to get a copy of today's program, you can go to WBAI.org or you can go to the website, thepositivemind.com. Be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m.
Fukushima on the Hudson. Find out more Thursday, June 23rd at 7 p.m. at the All Saints Episcopal Church in Sunnyside. Speaker Ken Gale, the host and producer.